This National Gallery of Art presentation is part of the series Reflections on the Collection, the Edmund J. Safra Visiting Professors at the National Gallery of Art. The talk, given by Antoinette Lenormand Romain, former director of the Institut National d'Histoire de l'Art and former Edmund J. Safra Visiting Professor at the National Gallery of Art, discusses Auguste Rodin's The Walking Man, L'Homme qui Marche, modelled between 1878 and 1900, and cast probably in 1903. Lenormand Romain describes a history of the walking man that reveals much about Rodin's methods, his deep appreciation of antiquity, and the significance of his art in the evolution of modern sculpture. The Edmund J. Safra Visiting Professorship brings to the gallery and to the Center for Advanced Study in the Visual Arts a colleague of international reputation to inspire collaboration in research efforts across the gallery and to forge new relationships. The sculpture that is the focus of the talk, Rodin's The Walking Man, is almost 3 feet tall and is cast in bronze. It shows a nude, muscular man's torso and legs as he strides forward. The sculpture ends at the shoulders and neck, without arms or a head. The feet are planted on a rectangular plinth, also cast in bronze, that rises slightly at the ends where it meets his feet. The figure and the plinth are cast as one piece. The bronze surface of the work reads as being nearly black, but is mottled with streaks of pine green, for instance, across the chest. The areas over the groin and hips and across the shoulders are rough, where pieces of the sculpture were joined as it was being made. Some cracks and hollows disrupt the otherwise smooth surface. The work is incised with Rodin's signature between the figure's feet, A. Rodin. The sculpture stands on a separate base, about 4 feet high, in a rounded niche within a circular gallery, displaying two other sculptures and two paintings. The walls are painted pale dove gray, and the arches and doorways are surrounded by decorative moldings. Dr. Lenormand Romain stands next to the walking man in the gallery.
I have chosen the Small Walking Man by Rodin because I think it's an important sculpture, of course, and it's a sculpture which helps to understand Rodin's approach to sculpture. It was cast in 1903 for Mrs. Simpson, who had recently made Rodin's acquaintance and who admired a lot Rodin's work and who gave her beautiful collection to the National Gallery of Art. It's a very interesting choice on her part to have this sculpture, which was a very new sculpture at that time, and also a very modern one, a sculpture looking towards the 20th century and not a sculpture related to 19th century sculpture. We have to remember that in the beginning of the 80s, Rodin was quite a traditional sculptor and he wanted to exhibit in the Salon, which was the official annual exhibition in Paris. And in 1878-79, he decided to make a St. John the Baptist preaching. And for this sculpture, he made some studies, some torso studies, and he just forgot one of them in a corner of the studio. And after a while, he rediscovered the study, which was decayed and cracked, and some parts of it had fallen down. And he thought it was as beautiful as the antique, and he decided to preserve it, to have a plaster cast made from the sculpture. And you can recognize it here in this part and see, in fact, all these cracks. At the very end of 19th century, perhaps 98, 99, Rodin decided to stock this study torso on a pair of legs, which were intended for St. John the Baptist, but which were in a perfect state. And he didn't try to hide the contrast between the two parts of the sculpture. And here we see these perfect legs and the torso as it was. It is said that Rodin's assistants, when they brought this very large plaster at the salon, that they said, "Oh, but it's a working man." And then Rodin adopted the title, and the working man became the title of the sculpture. And I think it's not only just a story, an anecdote, but it tells a lot about Rodin's process. Because in 19th century, French sculpture has always something to tell, a story to tell, a message to give. But here, you have no longer a story. The working man is only a description. Sculpture now exists only by itself. You have not to think of a story, of a context. You are just in front of the form, in front of the volume, and its energy is enough to bring the message the sculpture should bring. It's a thing on which Rodin has been thinking for a very long time. As soon as the beginning of the 80s, when he was working for the Gates of Hell and modeling all these little bodies, he was no longer interested in the people who Dante was supposed to have met when he visited the Hell, but he just wanted to express passion or anger and all the passions that human people can feel. And it is also the reason for which Rodin sculptures are praised everywhere in the world. So the working man was exhibited and very much admired. It was admired as a kind of a renaissance of antiquity. People thought they could recognize the beauty of antique sculpture. But I think they did not take notice of what is perhaps the most interesting in the sculpture, and which is the impression of movement that it gives. We are in 1907, the futurist artists began to think about all this question of movement and representation of movement. The Manifeste Futuriste will be published in 1909, and we have here an impression of movement, a dynamism inside the sculpture, which is extremely strong. However, the 2 feet are flat on the ground, which is not the true attitude of walk. When you look at the Muybridge photographs, for instance, you see that you always have one of the heel appraised. However, you have this strong impression of a body who is going forward. And I think Rodin got that impression by the axes of the torso and of the legs, which are not exactly on the same line. And also the sculpture is a little leaning forward. And then you have no head, you have no arms, which would have been a kind of distraction. You are just looking at this part of the body and the movement it suggests. So it was very much admired, and a group of Rodin's admirers decided to offer a bronze cast to the French state. They wanted this bronze copy to be put in the cortile of Palazzo Farnese in Rome. I think that for Rodin, it must have been a very great joy, because Rodin admired a lot Michelangelo, of course, he admired a lot antiquity, and to have this sculpture, which is, in a sense, the end of his career, it really is one of the sculptures which explains best his long, long process and his long reflection about sculpture. And I think that to see it in the center of Rome and so close to Michelangelo and antiquity made him extremely happy. It's a great luck for the National Gallery of Art to be able to exhibit this sculpture. In fact, Mrs. Simpson was so convinced of the quality of the sculpture that she had her sister to commission another copy. And it happened that it was the time when the National Gallery of Art was built and opened. And here, they were able to explain that they are very large galleries, empty, and they would be very, very happy to have the collection. And for the National Gallery of Art, yes, it's a wonderful acquisition, the whole collection, but also, especially, this sculpture, which means so much about Rodin and history of sculpture.